This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 235, for the weekend of July 3rd through July 5th. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to this edition of Backseat Box Office, the first show of July, which might be, for some people, the first show of the fiscal new year, but I don't want to put anyone to sleep, probably too late. Art, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am ready for the holiday weekend.
Yeah, I would hazard a guess that I'm ready for this holiday weekend, too. It seemed like... This is the longest 4-day week that I can remember, but we have a lot of 4-day weeks, so I really can't complain. So, let's talk about how the box office did last weekend. All right, at number one, we have Jurassic World, which came in at $54.5 million. At number two, we had Inside Out, which came in at $52.3 million. So, kind of close. At number three, we had Ted 2 at $33.5 million. We had the other new release, Max, coming at number four at $12.1 million. And at number five, we have Spy, came in at $7.9 billion. And there's your top five. So we are in, you know, we are at the mercy of the two juggernauts right now, dueling it out, Jurassic World and Inside Out.
Yes, the gap is closing, though. Inside Out still adding theaters and falling slightly slower. Just like a 48% drop for Jurassic World, but only a 42% drop for Inside Out. So I think we could see those two flip-flopping next week.
Yeah, well, a couple things going on with Inside Out is, first of all, I think it has better word of mouth than Jurassic World, I would probably hazard to say, depending on how big of a dinosaur fan is talking. The other thing about Inside Out, and I really can't verify this, so you're the one that could verify this. Do you think that there's more rewatchability with Inside Out than there is with Jurassic World? Especially since you've seen Inside Out twice.
I think that more comes from the fact of that is just the nature of kids. Mm-hmm. I personally don't have a problem with rewatching movies. I'll rewatch a movie all the time. It's not a big deal to me. I know people who are like, they don't ever rewatch movies. They watch a movie once and they don't ever go back to it. You know, but kids, you know, I mean, there are times where we literally finish watching a movie and Aubrey's like, let's play that again. And I'm like, okay, we got to talk about this because we're not going to sit in front of the TV for 4 hours.
Way back when.
Put it on again.
Yeah. back when, I think that we were playing a role playing game back when I was in college, and I think we played for 8 hours. And the DM's daughter was watching the second Batman, and I think I saw it 4 times. Because we basically played all day. And the kid didn't care.
Right.
Kid didn't care at all. Just do it again. Right. Do it again.
No. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Penguin's not scaring you? No.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, so I think there's a little bit more repeat viewing. Because I haven't heard bad things about Jurassic World either. I mean, people are loving it. It's right in the vein of, you know, the first movie. You know, there's a few little holes here and there, but that's always been the case with a movie like this. You know, everybody I know who's seen it has enjoyed seeing it. I think you just, you got more repeat viewers with Inside Out.
Right. And just as a reminder, 98% Rotten Tomatoes for Inside Out, 71% for Jurassic World. So there are bad reviews out there. Okay, so that was last week's box office. So now let's start talking about new movies coming out this weekend. So, Art, why don't you tell us about probably the bigger performing movie that will be out this weekend.
Okay, we have Magic Mike XXL. Rated 61% fresh on the tomato meter, 80 fresh reviews, 51 rotten. 75% want to see it out of 18,000 user reviews. Picking up the story, 3 years after Mike bowed out of the stripper life at the top of his game, Magic Mike XXL finds the remaining Kings of Tampa likewise ready to throw in the towel, but they want to do it their way, burning down the house in one last blowout performance in Myrtle Beach. And with legendary headliner Magic Mike sharing the spotlight with them, on the road to their final show, with whistle stops in Jacksonville and Savannah to renew old acquaintances and make new friends, Mike and the guys learn some new moves and shake off the past in surprising ways. Rated R for strong sexual content, pervasive language, some nudity, and drug use. Genre comedy, directed by Gregory Jacobs, written by Channing Tatum and Reed Carolyn, 1 hour and 55 minutes. Of course, we have Channing Tatum, Joe Mangiello, Kevin Nash, Gabriel Iglesias, Donald Glover, hey, I like him a lot, Andy McDowell, Elizabeth Banks, Jada Pinkett Smith, Michael Strahan, nice. Let's see, and now we're getting kind of thin. Do you see anybody else?
No.
There's a lot of names here, though. I mean, no. That is a lot of listings, though. And it's a lot of nobodies. At least nobody I've ever heard of. I know somebody who saw this. Actually, I know a couple of people who saw this. And they all liked the original better. And said this one was still good, just not as good as the first movie.
As I'm wont to do, I'm just scanning some of the reviews at the bottom of the page here.
Okay.
Wesley Morris from Grantland. As I sat there laughing, I realized I wasn't only entertained, I was moved and exhilarated. Not since the days of Peak Travolta and Dirty Dancing has a film so perfectly nailed something essential about movie lust.
Okay.
And right below him, J.R. Jones from the Chicago Reader. This movie is all tease and no release. Okay. So, yeah, I didn't see the first one. I'm probably not going to see this one.
No, you know, I love me some dance movies. I mean, you know, and I have no interest in this because it's just so much beefcake. I don't think I can handle it.
All right, so now it's my turn. Let's talk about another sequel, Terminator Genisys. And they are so nice enough to give us a description that has zero plot details. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. On the tomato meter, it is 26%. 26%. Out of 149 reviews, 38 fresh, and 111 rotten. So there's got to be some type of badge or sticker for over 100 rotten reviews. Out of the audience score, 70% liked it. Out of 54,380 people. So... description, James Cameron's sci-fi classic gets rebooted in this Paramount production designed as the first installment in a new trilogy. Rated PG-13 for intense sequences of sci-fi violence and gunplay throughout, partial nudity, and brief strong language. Genre is action and adventure, directed by Alan Taylor. Written by Patrick Lussier, I'm hoping, and Leda Kalogridis. 1 hour and 59 minutes, starring Amelia Clarke, Jason Clarke, Jai Courtney, Arnold Schwarzenegger, J.K. Simmons, Byung-Hun Lee as a T-1000, and Matt Smith as Tim, and also reprising his role from Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Courtney B. Vance. So, what do you think, Art?
I'm interested, but I still haven't seen the movie before this one, so I'm behind.
Not gonna matter.
That's true.
But I've seen Terminator Salvation. It's like an alternate. It's almost like an alternate universe.
You really don't seem to understand OCD, though.
I understand completism. Okay. Where you have to see everything.
And there's a part of me that really wants to see it in order. the order that they were released, the order that everybody else in the world will probably see them. I just want to be normal, Jeff. I just want to be normal.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you, Art.
Too late.
You're at an age where you need to focus on attainable goals. And really, this is, you think this is your shot at normalcy?
I'm grasping at straws, Jeff. Yeah, Throw me a life preserver.
Okay, well, it's kind of hard to get straws in the water, but that's okay. Yeah. I was browsing over an io9, and they have kind of a, I don't want to say a cheat sheet, but kind of, you know, an explanation of some crazy stuff that you see going on. And, you know, I've also seen one review that says that, you know, Schwarzenegger saves the movie. But it seems like they're all over the place with this one from what I've heard and what I've seen.
Right. Yeah. I've only just seen the trailer. I haven't, you know, read anything else. I haven't, you know, seen anything else as far as like, if there's a new trailer with more stuff in it. I saw the one first release trailer, and that's all I've seen. And, you know, based on that, I think it looks like it could be good. It's going to be just, it's an action Terminator movie. You know, it's like, you know, as long as there aren't any big, huge, monstrous, gaping holes, you know, terrible plot, I think most people will be pretty forgiving.
On one hand, I didn't think that you needed to tell any more Terminator stories after Terminator 2.
Okay.
But because the Pandora's box of time travel has been opened, there isn't any reason for Skynet to keep trying.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. This is definitely going to be a Netflix one. I don't think I'm going to go to the theater for this one.
Right. Yeah, no, me neither.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't, you know, my dollars are not going to determine or make or break Hollywood, and they're going to keep on doing, you know, it's almost like the same playbook as, you know, Jurassic World.
Right.
Let's just make something that's very close, and we'll make sure that we have enough fan service in there. And, you know, and they're going to do three movies. You know, do we have Marvel to thank for that? That you just don't make, you know, everyone is making a campaign, to use an RPG term, as opposed to they should be making one shots.
Yeah, well, you know, the power of the franchise.
Or everybody wants to, you know, show you TV in a movie theater. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. All right. So now that is, or was, the movies that are coming in the theater this weekend. So now this is part of the show where we all share what we watched last week. And we're going to start out with Tad. Tad sent us two voicemails about TV and a movie that he saw. So Tad, why don't you lay it on us?
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in. I can't remember if I ever called in back in after I got out of Mad Max or not, but it was awesome. Best Mad Max movie I've ever seen. And I've watched The Road Warrior probably close to, I don't know, I'm going to say 50 times. Watched Mad Max probably about 3 or 4. I've watched Thunderdome at least twice, maybe 3 times. Road Warrior was always my favorite, by far, obviously. Mad Max is just, I think they had more money, better, so, I mean, it was just really good. Everything about it, the production, the acting, the story, it's just really good. Don't need to see any of the other Mad Max movies in order to enjoy it. I would suggest everyone go out and see it. Seeing it in theater is just awesome. I'm glad I didn't wait to watch it on DVD. Okay, now what I've been watching. I just found a new show on Sci-Fi called Killjoys, Space Bounty Hunters. I don't think I really need to say any more. Just you had me at Space Bounty Hunters. only one episode aired so far, I think. I watched it on demand, so I saw that, and I have it set up to record the next episodes that are coming on. So I'm looking forward to it, and I liked it so far. I've only seen one episode, the first episode of the pilot, and I really liked it. Set everything up well and told a good story. So I liked it, and maybe I'll talk a little bit more about it next time, but this is getting kind of long. So thanks for the show, guys, and I'll call in again next week. Bye.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Pat calling with what I've been watching. I think I've already got a couple of more voicemails in, but I found another show that I'm really liking so far. I've seen two episodes. It's called Dark Matter. It's on Sci-Fi. Basically, it's six people come out of cryo sleep or whatever, suspended animation on a spaceship, and don't remember who they are. And it's pretty good. I mean, you find out who they are in the first episode. And so it's kind of like, you know, you just kind of go through. I don't want to spoil anything because, well, I don't know. I just don't want to spoil anything, but it's really good. I would suggest watching it. I watched the first two episodes on demand, and I have it set up to record the rest of them when they come on. So another show I've been watching, pretty good. And I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for the great show. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Tad. You know, I actually heard about both of those TV shows, Dark Matter and Killjoys, and I did record Dark Matter, but, you know, I pre-listened to the voicemail, and, you know, Killjoys also sound, you know, Space Bounty Hunter sounds good, so I'm going to record it, and we'll see how good a job Sci-Fi does. You know, they can be all over the place, and I'm so happy you enjoyed Mad Max. Still my favorite movie of the summer.
Yeah, I still need to see it. And as far as these both shows do, I think, sound interesting to me as well, Dark Matter and Killjoys. I actually watched the trailer for Killjoys, and that looks really good. So yeah, I want to check both of these out as well.
All right, Art. Time for you to kick off what you watched last week.
Okay, so first off, let's roll back. I forgot to talk about the premiere of Star Wars Rebels. Did you catch the one-hour premiere?
I watched it last night.
Okay. All right. So I really enjoyed it. I liked the, you know, Darth Vader really playing his role and just being, you know, a guy you hate and a guy you fear. I'm still really enjoying this show. I actually listened to the latest episode of the Order 66 podcast, and they had Sam Witwer on. And he's in the episode does the voice of Emperor Palpatine, or the Emperor. And he talked about, you know, watching the premiere at Star Wars Celebration and, you know, the people, their reaction, you know, and knowing that he was up reading against James Earl Jones. They got to reprise his role as Darth Vader. And it was just kind of funny because when he originally asked, you know, who's going to do the voice of Vader, the director or the showrunner was like, oh, we got Darth Vader. And he's like, oh, way to be cryptic, you know. And then when he actually found out it was James Earl Jones, he was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't think I'd be, you know, have my voice acting working alongside James Earl Jones. So he was really thrilled by that and a little intimidated, but then happy with the crowd's reaction and whatnot. And so I just thought it was very interesting, just another little piece to the puzzle. But yeah, I really enjoyed it and, you know, ready for more. I also watched another Miyazaki film, Nausicaä and the Valley of the Wind. We just watched that one. We were just working our way through more Studio Ghibli films. I really enjoyed this one. It is a futuristic, post-apocalyptic, dealing with the environment. It's got a very strong environmental message. And it was really enjoyable. It was had Patrick Stewart in it, Mark Hamill, Edward James Olmos.
Adama. All you got to do is say Adama.
Sure, that guy. a few other people. I think Charlize Theron, maybe. But it was well dubbed. It was, you know, beautiful as Studio Ghibli films are. This is actually one of the earlier works, probably in the first third of their movies. I was actually looking over the list because Brittany was asking me, you know, which ones I actually had and which ones I didn't. She's probably thinking about getting me something at some point. And I'm like, yeah, these are the ones I'm really interested in. These are the ones I already have. And I don't even think I have half yet. And I have quite a few at this point. So anyway, but that was really good. I would recommend it if you like Miyazaki at all. I think this one is one of the better ones. That brings me to, we started watching Jupiter Ascending. I was unable to finish Jupiter Ascending.
Really? Okay. Yeah, well, it's two in a row, right?
Oh my goodness. It was not good. It was so convoluted and it was so just off the wall. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know. I listened to, they did a How Did This Get Made on this, you know, and the best thing you could say about this movie is that it, you know, they really were trying. They really were. I mean, they put a lot of effort into doing something that is not a sequel, not part of a franchise, just its own thing, stepping out there on its own. You really had to appreciate them for trying to innovate and do something new and different. But in the end, they fell on their face, and I could not finish watching the movie. There were actually four of us trying to watch the movie, and they, you know, everybody just eventually just kind of peeled off, did their own thing, watching their phones, and eventually I just turned it off. I was the last one to be like, okay, this is done. Everybody's out, and I'm out too. I'm not making it to the end. So yeah, Jupiter Ascending, no go.
Interesting.
Yes. Interesting. So that is it for my share time.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about one TV movie that we just talked about. Yeah, I saw the Star Wars Rebels one-hour movie. So, you know, it's not... I was thinking, is it coming back? No, this is just a movie, and it's going to be coming back in September with the regular episodes. Maybe it's because I'm on, like, a X-Wing kick right now, but I really enjoyed the battle that, you know, Vader single-handedly takes on the Rebel fleet.
Right.
And they can't even touch him.
Well, a cell. Not quite a fleet.
It depends on your... Not the entire fleet, but...
No, but it was like... You know. It was three or four large ships and four A-wings.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the Ghost got involved. So, right. But he did hand them their hats.
And another interesting wrinkle is that nobody on the Rebel side knows who that is.
Right.
Kanan kind of has an inkling of who it is. That is a Sith Lord, not an Inquisitor.
Right.
And that you don't want to even try to go up against him.
Right. Yeah. How do we defeat that? We're lucky to be alive.
Right. And then Ahsoka kind of figures it out.
Right. She knows.
Right.
She knows exactly who that is.
Right. So, I enjoyed it. I really like the direction that they're going in. You kind of know some of the lieutenants on the Imperial side, and they're kind of recurring characters. They're not just, you know, they're just not, you know, recycling them.
Right.
I kind of like what they're doing, and you know, and my son, he couldn't wait. He watched it without me. I didn't even know it was on.
Nice.
So he had to do some push-ups to teach him a lesson.
You wait for him. He needs to learn to wait for you.
Yeah. I mean, there's rules, you know, bro code or whatever. Okay. Even though bros are probably not watching Star Wars. Okay. All right, so I watched, or no, speaking of my son, Sunday, I broke out a classic movie in my estimation, Spaceballs, speaking of Star Wars.
Nice.
And, see, I'm basically doing the same thing I tried to do with my daughter with Airplane.
Right.
And Airplane didn't take. This was completely opposite. He loved Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah.
The wife was not happy about some of the language. It is a Mel Brooks movie.
It is.
but yeah, I'm not going to go into probably the one scene that got me the most evil eye from the wife, but it was still worth it. His favorite part was when they didn't know where Lone Star took off to, and so they broke out the VHS tape of Spaceballs and fast-forwarded to that part so they can figure out where to go.
Right. When is this? This is now.
Right.
When was that? That was then.
Now,
it is a classic.
And oh my gosh, the Blu-ray blew my doors off as far as the sound. Oh my gosh. Now, I was at Costco and they have the Mel Brooks collection. So Spaceballs is actually part of a set of 7 movies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
what else is in there?
History of the World Part 1.
Okay.
Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Blazing Saddles. One of his first movies, The 12 Chairs, which I hear isn't that good. Silent Movie, High Anxiety, To Be or Not to Be, and then Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Nice. That is a very nice set.
Yeah. Nine of Mel Brooks's best films on Blu-ray, and there's special features up the yin yang. Speaking of which, there is one great special feature about John Candy, and it's kind of like a retrospective of John Candy's career. And, you know, it was just amazing about people that are no longer with us in Spaceballs. Like, I mean, obviously, John Candy, Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
And we just had Dick Van Patten, who passed away. He plays the father of Princess Vespa.
Right.
So yeah, that was kind of a buzzkill a little bit, but yeah, it was fun watching again, and he definitely enjoyed it. All right, so I watched a movie I hadn't seen before last night. Bernie, are you familiar with the film Bernie, starring Jack Black?
No.
Okay, so this is a Richard Linklater film. So the same guy who did Boyhood, and Dazed and Confused, and Before Sunrise trilogy. I think it was him. Anyways, it's a true crime story, and it's about this guy in Texas who's an assistant funeral director who he's a lot effeminate.
Okay.
And it's a small Texas town, and he loved the older women. And by older, I mean like the senior citizens.
Okay.
And so he in kind of a plutonic relationship, I think. He kind of shacks up with Shirley MacLaine. And then she disappears. And no one knows what happened to her. And if you watch the movie, you'll find out exactly what happens to her. And it's just amazing that this was a true story. Now, part of the reason I got this movie is because the critics, you know, almost to a man and woman, were praising Jack Black's performance in this movie. And he is great as this guy, Bernie. But the best part of the movie for me, because it's shot as a mockumentary almost, and all of the gossips in the town, they all get their 15 minutes to explain, you know, different ins and outs of the different characters. And that I ended up laughing the most out of those little, you know, mini commentaries. So I definitely enjoyed it. It also has Matthew McConaughey, who plays the DA, but it's a very strange movie, and most of it is true, and it's not what I expected. It almost reminds me a little bit of Best in Show.
Interesting.
I mean, where you know, it's kind of, you know, that quirky.
Right,
With all the characters and that kind of stuff. So okay. I would definitely recommend it. You know, don't kill yourself trying to you know, find it or something. I haven't looked to see if it's on Netflix, but I enjoyed it. I mean, you know, I'm becoming a Jack Black fan, even though I haven't seen some of his more, you know, absurd movies like Nacho Libre and Be Kind Rewind kind of thing.
Right.
So, but we as a family, we love School of Rock.
Oh yeah, no, I was actually just having this discussion with somebody about Jack Black, his career, what movies we like, what movies we don't, because a buddy of mine is just like, I don't care for him at all. I said, I'm not a huge fan. I'm like, but you know, but School of Rock and what was the other one? Oh, The Holiday. He's like, well, he didn't star in The Holiday. I'm like, well, The Holiday was an ensemble cast. Nobody really starred in that movie. You know, it focused mostly on the girls, but the guys played an integral part in that movie. So anyway, neither here nor there. When is this from? Is this like recent, last year? Is this a little older?
I think 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay.
2 years ago.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't remember it at all.
Yeah, it was definitely an under the radar. There wasn't a big marketing campaign, even though they had they had a pretty big star in it, McConaughey, and you know, Linklater I think has a lot of cred.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was almost like an indie movie.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So Star Wars Rebels, Spaceballs, and Bernie. Those are three things that I watched during the week. Okay, so now we can get to news. Art, what'd you find out?
Okay, what do I have for news? Well, let's see. I am going to say, I thought this was interesting. They were talking about, last week we talked about Tom Holland being picked for the role of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
The director is now a John Watts. And so he is also, he's not completely unknown. He's not as unknown as Tom Holland, but he's also very an interesting pick for such, you know, something that's going to be another big franchise. Because, you know, the way Marvel's really going is like they're kind of trying to stick with the director. You know, they had Joss heading up Avengers, you know, kind of, you know, by himself for two movies there. You know, James Gunn is coming back with Guardians. So they're thinking, you know, they could be setting him up to be doing the next three Spider-Man films. And his credits are like, where I had it here just a second ago. I am totally blanking and I can't find it. No, it was right here and now I can't find it. Saved my life. Wow, it is not that long an article. How am I not seeing this? Okay, well, never mind. But really what they said it's coming down to is they feel like they somebody that they can work with, you know, especially coming from Fahey. He thinks it's somebody he could spend the next 2 years working with and really enjoy it. So we'll see where this is going. Spider-Man, can't wait to see which direction it goes. And like I said, I like that they're picking people, I think, more for what they bring to the party than who they are.
All right. Okay. I'm going to break our usual, I don't know, methodology for news, but I'm going to talk about comics.
Okay.
Because right now, Marvel is kind of, I think they're kind of transitioning into maybe, I mean, because they've talked about the different phases and that kind of stuff, but we're starting to get into the more obscure heroes and movies about these heroes kind of thing. And so there was some other news that, I don't know, may or may not affect the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But basically what I'm referring to is that Marvel's announced that ever since the new Secret Wars comic concluded, that it basically destroyed the Ultimate line of comics, or the Ultimates.
Okay.
And there's been a leak that they're going to have an all-new universe for their comics. And they're going to have 45 books starting at number one.
Okay.
And some of these things just... I mean, obviously someone that has been reading comics longer than I have, you know, probably be excited about this. But I just started collecting Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the one of the books that they're rebooting. kind of thing. But, you know, let me read this little blurb and let me see if this either excites you or horrifies you. So apparently X-23 is going to be the new Wolverine.
Okay.
And then they're going to have Kate Bishop is going to be the new Hawkeye up against an older Clint Barton from the Old Man Logan comics. It looks like Kitty Pryde is assuming the mantle of Star-Lord for a new Guardians of the Galaxy team that also has the Thing. Also seems like some of Marvel's heroes are turning rogue. Both Scott Lang's Ant-Man and Spider-Hero Silk's covers imply that the heroes are turning to crime. And interestingly, the S.H.I.E.L.D. cover hints that the spy organization are getting in bed with the longtime enemies Hydra. So I think I might have to pump the brakes on starting to get back into comics because I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, that sounds, I don't know. That sounds really off the wall. Not even beyond off the wall. Let's throw stuff at the wall and see what sticks. And I don't even know what to make of all that.
Because for a certain segment of your business, it's almost like we're gonna cease production of all the products that you've come to know, and we're starting all with new Coke.
Right.
So
This
is just weird. And for someone that's, you know, really enjoying Daredevil kind of thing, I just don't know how this is going to affect the movies and the TV stuff.
Right.
So I'm just, trying not to be the typical nerd and not get all upset and actually give them a chance, but I don't have a good feeling.
Right. I mean, it sounds like the new 52, and, you know, I got a buddy who, he's a big DC guy, and you know, all his remarks about that is he didn't like it. You know, he's like, it's no good. It doesn't work. And I haven't been hearing good things, generally speaking, about the new 52. So I don't see how Marvel takes a page out of DC's playbook that's not working for them to try and make it work. I don't know. And it sounds like they're changing so much. People don't like change. I mean, I like change. I don't have a problem with change, but generally speaking, comic nerds don't like change.
Yeah, and we're going to be changing everything
at once. Right.
I don't know. But it'll be a good story, regardless of what happens. All right, so Art, what do you have?
Okay. Channing Tatum's plan for sounding like Gambit. So we've all heard Channing Tatum's going to be playing Gambit. At least from what, you know, is getting reported, he seems to be taking the role very seriously. He's actually, you know, practicing card throwing with an actual magician. He's working on his staff skills. And he is looking for the right person in the South to model his Cajun accent off of. So he's actually, you know, getting his feet on the ground down there, you know, somewhere in the New Orleans area or around where he grew up, because he says he's from the South. Mm-hmm. And finding somebody that has an accent that he wants to emulate and then, you know, hanging around with them to pick that accent up. And, it's showing commitment. Whether or not he pulls it off, that remains to be seen. But like I said, we've got to give him an A for effort.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing, or there's no way to judge how he's going to be at Gambit.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Okay, my second, and I'm looking here, and I pretty much have all, I have three Marvels and one Star Trek thing. All right, so Ant-Man's coming out in 2 weeks, and apparently there's going to be two credit scenes. So don't think because of Avengers Age of Ultron that they are going to, you know, phase out the little stingers after the end of the credits. So, and of course it's going to set up subsequent movies, so keep your eyes peeled for that.
Okay.
All right, what do you have, Art?
All right. So, weird gift Tom Hardy gave Charlize Theron after they fought during Mad Max. So, he said both actors were both quite stressed out during the production, you know, with the environment and the isolation. He actually gave a self-portrait that Hardy painted himself to give to Charlize as a wrap gift. So it just kind of, she found an appreciation for Tom Hardy's blunt honesty at times.
You have to be pretty sure of yourself to give that to Charlize Theron.
Yeah, you know.
Here's a picture of me so you don't forget what I look like.
Right.
hopefully without the mask.
Yes, yes. I just think it's funny. But you know what? I think you hear a lot. Women are just absolutely infatuated with Tom Hardy right now. They talk about those lips all the time. Comes up every single time. I just think it's kind of funny. But yeah. They
said, so you're talking about Lena as your focus group?
Not only Lena. She's not the only one.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Well.
I can think of at least a half dozen. Really? We're all Tom Hardy fanatics. Yeah.
Okay,
I think it's kind of funny. Lena is leading the pack, though, for sure.
Okay.
So it says they really drove each other nuts during the production shoot. And I just thought that was kind of funny. And it just makes me want to see the movie even more.
Yes, but not enough to go see it, though. Okay.
You know, I didn't. All the stuff I reported on wasn't anything I actually saw in the theater.
Yeah. It's Inside Out? You didn't see that in the theater?
Well, no, that was before. That was.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I'm right. Talking about by my. All right, whatever. You got me. I was talking about the last three movies I talked about.
So you're doing a juice cleanse of theaters. Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Got to wait a while to go back. All right. Hey, that's what I'm here for. Okay. So probably the worst pun in a headline that I've seen in a while. X-Men Days of Future Past offers early look at the Rogue cut. So there's been a lot of hand-wringing about Rogue not being in Days of Future Past. And they actually shot scenes for Rogue in Days of Future Past. But they were just saying, well, it'll probably be on the director's cut on the Blu-ray. Well, they're actually releasing the Rogue cut, but you can only see it at San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh.
This is what it says. According to The Hollywood Reporter, fans will soon have the chance to see X-Men Days of Future Past, the Rogue cut, an extended edition of the film that restores a storyline featuring Rogue that was not included in the final cut. The Rogue cut goes on sale July 14th. Okay, so let me take that back. You can probably buy it July 14th, but it will debut in four screens during San Diego Comic-Con on July 11th. Wow, is Comic-Con next week?
Apparently. That's what you just said.
Wow. Okay. So how do you score tickets? Fans who purchase the Rogue cut at Comic-Con will get two tickets to the screenings, and copies will be available at Fox Booths or at Nerd HQ IGN Lounge. In addition to the two tickets, fans who purchase copies at Comic-Con will receive a limited edition 3D lithograph commemorating 15 years of X-Men on the big screen. All right, so there's that. All right, Art, go ahead.
Okay, so my next story, funnily enough, I read this story over in its entirety, but I think the first line is very funny. Well, okay, the title is Star Wars Drops New Details About the Force Awakens Stormtroopers. The first line of the article is, though Marvel is largely staying out of the Comic-Con festivities next week, Star Wars The Force Awakens is not. So they're having a special edition toy that will be a con exclusive. They also talked about the different types of troopers we can expect to see. They're talking about in the packaging. They had... I am just terrible. Navy troopers, shield troopers, stormtrooper commander, heavy troopers, snow troopers, flame troopers. So we'll see. But the thing that really caught my eye at the end of the article, they were talking about the different people, you know, John Boyega, you know, as Finn, Daisy Ridley as Rey, Oscar Isaac as Poe Dameron, the X-Wing pilot. But this is the thing that really caught my eye. Lupita Nyong'o
mm-hmm.
plays a CG space pirate.
That's correct.
What does that mean, CG space pirate?
It means Jabba.
It means Jabba. No, because then the next line, Andy Serkis goes mocap for the Supreme Leader Snoke. So what is the difference between a CG space pirate and motion capture? Because I think motion capture, you think you're getting a full, complete makeover. So is CG, they're just going to be doing little things to enhance your features instead of prosthetic?
I think the difference is, you know, with mocap, you have to wear that suit for mocap.
Okay.
Kind of like if you've ever seen what they did for Jar Jar.
I don't
think Jar Jar was mocap, but they had a guy walking around in with the head. So
right.
They, so they at least had, you know, an idea of where he's going to be blocked during scenes, kind of thing.
Okay, I understand that. But I'm saying, what is the difference between... I can't wait to see what's the difference between these two statements. A CG space pirate and Andy Serkis goes mocap. Is it just there... making some delineation that doesn't really have a difference here? Or is there some actual difference here?
That I don't know.
I mean either, but it's got me wondering.
Okay. All right. Bulletin from the corrections department. It's been brought to my attention that I've been calling it Avengers 2 for such a long time. And I've been corrected that it's Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah. Okay.
So apparently the high standard of accuracy of this show has been shattered.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, so, yeah, apparently that's the show note for the latest episode of Backseat Producers.
I did see that.
I am just taking it as validation that I'm getting trolled from the home office there.
Yeah.
I'm misrepresenting Avengers Age of Ultron. So I wrote a message back, actually, in the comments. By the way, when are they doing Thor 2 and Captain America 2?
Yeah.
When
there you go.
I know both of those are Thor the Dark World and Captain America Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So on that, with that in mind, my second to last news article is Marvel has confirmed that the next Guardians of the Galaxy will be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Okay.
So now we can all rest at night.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Art. What do you got next?
Well, it makes me think of the tape. His mom, an awesome mixtape, Volume 2?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe so.
So, okay. The Marvel team, James Gunn, would love to see get their own film. Any guesses?
Say that one more time.
The Marvel team, James Gunn, would love to see get their own film.
I'm drawing a blank.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the most obscure, ridiculous... Marvel team.
Well, I've heard of them before. The Runaways.
Oh yes, I think you've talked about the Runaways.
It's pretty popular, even though it's not any of your.
So you're talking like mainstream. Victor Mancha and Molly something.
Right. Well, it's Alexander Wilde, Nico Minoru, Carolina Dean, Chase Stein, Gertrude Yorks, Molly Hayes.
Molly Hayes, that's what I was talking about.
Okay, so they are the kids of supervillains who are bent on destroying the world. And they run away and are trying to stop the schemes of their moms and dads. And it's a critically acclaimed book, not hugely popular. Yes, it could be an interesting thing to do a different take on, you know, not being so tied into everything else that's going on, kind of. But yeah, I could see that. That'd be if he's not going to do Avengers and he wants to do Runaways, I say let him have at it.
All right, so my last news story is about Kickstarter. According to IndieWire, For the Love of Spock becomes the most successful crowdfunded documentary in Kickstarter history. So apparently his son, Adam, wants to make a documentary about his late father.
Okay.
And apparently he's raised $662,000.
Yeah, sure.
But his goal was $600,000. He made the $662,000. But I guess that was pretty good. So For the Love of Spock is slated to debut in 2016 to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the original Star Trek series.
Very nice.
So yeah, I'll be looking forward to that.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else, so we can just end on that note.
All right. So everyone, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. We would love to hear from you. So you can send a tweet to either me at JB63, or you can send one to Art. Art is Arthur Santos Jr. And you can also do like Tad and send us a voicemail. You can call our voicemail number at 618-207-4794. There's also a button that you can hit if you're concerned, and or you just want us to call you. It's not actually going to be us. It's going to be Google calling on our behalf. And then you can leave us a voicemail, and we will play it on the show. So with that, again, thank you for listening to this episode of Backseat Box Office. And we will catch you next time. Art, say goodbye.
Goodbye.